This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to NSPS Radio Hour. Today, I'm going to try to speak up for the guys on the show. Since you all know me pretty well, I guess that's the first time you've ever heard anybody tell me I need to speak up, right? But for today's show, I want to welcome members of the TrigStar Committee, the NSPS National TrigStar Committee. Jerry Juarez, welcome, Jerry, all the way from Nevada.
Thank you.
And Tony Gregory, all the way from Indiana.
Good morning.
And Bob Miller, not too far away in Pennsylvania. So thank you all for joining me today. I really appreciate it. This is such an important topic, and we hear discussion about our TrigStar program on a pretty ongoing basis. As a matter of fact, I just attended the NCEES annual meetings, and TrigStar was mentioned quite prominently during those meetings because, as you all know, NCEES helps us with a number of things, and they're working now with us on some new promotional materials. So but certainly our program is well known, at least throughout the surveying community, and so I wanted to have you guys on to talk about your experiences, the program in general, of course. Probably some people who don't know as much about it as we would like, but to talk about your experiences and your visions going forward, because I think in the last few years since you guys have been so involved, the program has gone, I think, has gone really, really well, and we've gotten good participation across the country and had a lot of students involved. For the audience who may not know, the TrigStar program actually began about 30 years ago. In 1983, when Russ Castell, and one of the people who was on NSPS Board of Governors with me at the time, as a matter of fact, came up with the idea and looking at it as a local program. And it wasn't until sometime later it actually began to be a national program as a result of some work from one of our members down in Florida, or at least an idea from Kent Green. So with that, maybe it'd be good for you guys to introduce yourselves and talk a little bit about your businesses, your positions, the things you're in, and then we can start to talk about the program. So I'll just start here on the East Coast with Bob.
Hi, I'm Bob Miller. I've been NSPS governor for the state of Pennsylvania for I think about eight or 9 years, and I actually was introduced to NSPS through joining as the TrigStar chairman for Pennsylvania. And it was a little backwards. I got into TrigStar prior to getting into NSPS completely. I was very excited about this. I've always aspired to be a math teacher, but I became a surveyor instead because I enjoyed it so much outside. And this gives me the opportunity to go into the classroom and talk to the students. I'm presently the Director of Surveying for Horizon Engineering in Pennsburg, Pennsylvania.
Thanks, Bob. Tony, we'll go to you next.
Yes, good morning. I started my involvement with TrigStar about 10 or 12 years ago. I can't remember the exact year, but it was making some moves in Indiana here, and in our local state society chapter, we were getting involved with high schools, and I just got involved going to the high schools. I am an educator. I'm a professor at Purdue University, Calumet, and so it was it's commonplace for me to go into high school classrooms and talk about programs and whatnot, and this just fit well being a land surveyor. And I was drafted to go into the TrigStar committee when I attended a then ACSM conference and decided to show up to the meeting, and I didn't realize there was a bylaw that if you show up for a meeting, you get put on the committee. But I've been on the committee ever since, and it's been great. I love the program, and I love working with the guys that I work with on it.
And Jerry, I guess you are awake this morning, right? Being all
I'm
way
here.
Out
yeah, it's not too early. So I'm here. I'm Jerry Juarez. I'm from Nevada. And kind of like the stories of old with some surveyors that have gotten into the profession kind of on accident, that's kind of what happened with myself and TrigStar. And I walked into a TrigStar meeting at one of the conferences, like Tony was just mentioning. And you sit down, and they write your name down, and they kind of that's it. That's it. You're on the committee. So that's how I started with Trickstar, and that was probably, man, I'd say about 8 years ago as well. So I've been on there for a while. I serve as chair right now, and with the three of us and some other people, and we've worked really hard to get where this Trickstar, where the committee is and where the program is, and have gotten a lot of people that didn't understand Trickstar so much in the past now have a better understanding. Excuse me, we worked hard to do that, and I think that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And one of the things that I hear from people oftentimes is they're not really sure how it works. And perhaps we've not done as good a job as we should have in terms of getting information into people's hands to allow them to know more about it. And that's one of the reasons I want to have you all on the show today and also utilize our News and Views newsletter to get more information about the program throughout the year. Because sometimes I think people are reluctant just because they're not really sure how it works. And I don't know if you all have encountered that as well, but it certainly we see it here through the office. So I don't know where we want to go next in terms of history. Well, we talked about history a little bit, I guess, but maybe we could talk a little bit about this, the whole committee thing. I don't want people to think they can't come into a committee meeting in fear of being put onto the committee.
No, we're just joking about that committee thing. It's a great committee, and we do need some other folks to help us out, and we're trying to get more and more people involved and just growing it even more. And you know, we're gonna need people, some surveyors that would like to be in the committee and help us out to get this thing even more out there and so people can understand it again and what we're trying to do. And you know, that's something we'll talk about exactly what, you know, what Trickstar is and what we're trying to accomplish. But we do need people, and hopefully after hearing some of this today, that there'll be some people that will be interested in joining the committee.
Yeah, this is Tony. I was joking, obviously, about that. I could have said no, but I was really honored to be asked to serve on the committee, and I look back on it now, and I'm thrilled that I said yes. But I agree with Jerry. Our committee, you might recall, Kurt, about 5 years ago, we had about 7 or 8 active members on it. And for one reason or another, they go to different committees or whatnot. And we have a few folks that come in regularly to our meetings and aren't yet listed as formal committee members. But I agree with Jerry. We need to get a few more folks whose names are on the committee list, and I think that's going to show strength for us.
Yeah, I think so too. And I don't know, Bob, if you wanted to add to that, but I know one of the questions I hear fairly often is how do the questions, because it's not just one, obviously we have the, and maybe you even want to talk about that, the local competition and the state and national competition, but I get questions from people pretty often about how do the questions that get presented to the students get prepared? How does that happen?
I guess that would Bob? Be, I don't know, that might be Tony's forte at this time, because he's been inducted into that position. There was a gentleman, Don Murray from Iowa, who was always preparing. I shouldn't say always. The original chairman of the committee was John Chagnon from New Hampshire, and he really is the one that got everything going for Trickstar. And he retired, had his business to take care of, and Don Murray out of Iowa took over, and he was great at writing questions. When he writes the questions, we review the questions, make sure they're fair, but also, you know, have some difficulty. And then they tweak them, and it comes back to us, and it's put into the final package. Now, Tony has taken on that task.
Yeah,
Tony,
go ahead.
I was just going to ask Tony. To me, that seems like it would be a challenge, because you're creating a question that's going to go to high school students, and it would seem to me that might be hard to do, considering that you know that the students are the ones involved and that there's a time frame involved.
Exactly, and I learned a lot from Don from Iowa when as he was doing that. I think he did it for 10 or more years, and fortunately, as Don was phasing out on this, he shared all of his test question records with us, and so I've got a nice bank of information to the types of questions that he put together. And I guess I have a little bit of an advantage on that in that I, as an educator, I've prepared exams for college freshmen and whatnot in the surveying field for many years. But it is tough, as Kurt says, and we get comments sometimes from the teachers that this exam seemed to be, or this test question seemed to be harder than in past years and whatnot. But we try to be fair. We don't want it. It should be challenging. The questions should be challenging, and we want to make sure that they are. But at the same time, we have to realize that we're dealing with typically high school sophomores and juniors for the most part, and we have to keep it realistic.
Yeah, didn't I see that one of our top winners this year was actually a freshman? I think that's true. I believe the second place winner is a freshman. I may be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure I got that information when I was talking with the teacher as we were going through the national competition side of it. And I know we've only got we got a couple of minutes left before our break, and so there are a lot of other questions that we have going forward, and some things I know you guys are going to want to talk about as committee members, just for things to think about, some of the questions comes up sometimes about how do I get involved at my local level, and you know that we also have state society involvement to some degree, and I don't know the numbers on that. Maybe you guys know better about that in terms of how many states actually support the program strongly, or sometimes it's just individuals within the state. We have a thing called the state license or something like that.
Right.
That state societies can provide for their members by paying some fee so that the local members don't have to pay the fee. So as we go forward and talking about those things, maybe that's some of the things we can discuss. And then, as I said, I know you guys have things you want to talk about as well. I know one of the things that's come to me, or I shouldn't say come to me, but has been brought forward in my mind more than I had thought about it before, is how many people don't know about the scholarship we now have.
Mm-hmm.
And you all just did some judging on that one not too long ago, I know. So lots of horse to talk about today, and so I appreciate you all being on with me. So in the next 30 seconds, I don't know if any of you guys have anything you want to add to what I just said before we take the first break. But
I'd like to say something and mention something right, you know, one of the questions that you talked about was something that we really need to mention, and it's been talked about over the years quite often, is what we want to accomplish with TrickStar, and there seems to be a little bit of confusion. I think we're getting better at explaining, and so people know exactly what TrickStar is supposed to do for us as professional
that,
lancers.
That makes a perfect segue, Jerry, to our first break, mm-hmm. So we can talk about that when we come back.
Sounds good.
Attention surveyors, are you aware that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Johnstead, in cooperation with international mine action programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com. And thank you.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
Quick steaks are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden steaks, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about Quick Steaks, go to www.quicksteak.com, or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
Getting into underground utility location? If so, you'll want to know about the Schonstadt Instrument Company's MPC kit, a multi-purpose combo for locating both ferrous objects and underground pipes and cables. And because it consists of two instruments in one package, it qualifies for trade-in allowances on two locators. Any kind, any make, any condition. Contact your dealer for details. or visit www.seanstedt.com. That's SCHONSTEDT.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back today with Bob Miller, Tony Gregory, and Jerry Juarez talking about the NSPS TrigStar program. And in our first segment, we covered a fairly broad range of topics, maybe not too intently, but we did talk a little bit. And during the break, I asked the question and got the answer back, so I was going to hand this back to Tony. I don't want people to get the idea that they have to be an NSPS governor to be on the committee.
That's correct. I have been, just within the past year, I've assumed the role in Indiana as the governor. I was the alternate governor for a few years before that, but my involvement with NSPS really came about because of my involvement with the TrigStar Committee. I would go to the conferences for general land surveyor education purposes, and so I served on the TrigStar Committee for several years before I was even the alternate governor for Indiana, so there was no requirement for that. And if you look at the lists of governors and list of TrigStar coordinators by state, you'll see there's many states where you'll have different names there.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I was just going to say, I think some of our most proactive coordinators, or even individuals who work in the states, even if they're not a coordinator, are certainly not our NSPS governors. There are lots of people who do a really good job, work really hard.
I agree.
So with that, another thing we chatted about to break a little bit, and I want to give Bob a chance to weigh in on this. The question was, does everybody on the listening side of this discussion know what TrigStar is? And I guess my answer is probably not. So, Bob, if you would talk about that a little bit.
Okay. TrigStar was originally created to get the word out there what surveyors do with trigonometry and how trigonometry is very important to us, and therefore there is a need for knowledge coming out of high school of trigonometry. There's a lot of students, including myself 40 years ago, that said, why do I have to learn trigonometry? I'll never use that for the rest of my life. And we use it every day. And that's the first thing we do when we go into the classroom and discuss this with the students. We give a program and talk about what exactly the trig is used in surveying. And for everyone out there, the trigonometry is what makes your GPS run also. So that's, you know, the kids love that, but the teachers love that too, because now they have something that they can show the students that they can apply that math to instead of just going through the problems. But we give this presentation. We show the kids what it's all about. We tell them where they can go for future, for further educating themselves on surveying, and then we talk about the test and what's exactly involved with the test that they'll be taking in the future. So,
one of the things that, speaking of, you know, what TrigStar is about, and you just mentioned the teachers, Bob, that's one of the things that came up at the NCES annual meeting I just attended last week. There was a lot of talk about TrigStar and a lot of talk about other things, and I think all of you are familiar with the TWIST program. The TWIST program is it's like a summer event, actually, for school teachers, mostly math teachers, or at least the ones that we are involved with. And it's to help them better understand how to teach with spatial technology. That's actually what TWIST stands for, is teaching with spatial technology. And the reason I bring that up is that NCES has begun to sponsor or co-sponsor with some of our state affiliates and even our regional affiliate, WestFed, out on the West Coast, in terms of providing matching funds when an organization has so many people that they can fund to come to a TWIST summer program, then NCWS will augment that. And why that's important to TrigStar is that from their perspective, from the NCWS perspective, helping to support TWIST helps to support TrigStar, because TrigStar is part of the training that they go through and they get to learn about it. And it also helps them better understand why teaching about spatial technology is important. So I was really encouraged with that discussion during the meeting that Not only do they do a lot of things to help us specifically directly with TriggStar, but they're now interested in helping to supplement the TWIST program. And I think we at NSPS need to be more involved in that and get more of our members involved in it, just because it is a precursor, so to speak, to TriggStar.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in our state, you're talking about with WestFed, our state here in Nevada, that we just sent last year and this year, we sent a couple of teachers to TWIST, and it's a really good program to, you know, especially if you're gonna use TriggStar to do what we need to do, is build an awareness, you know, of the surveying profession, and then getting the teachers involved, because once the teachers in TriggStar, they're the ones that are excited. They're the ones that get TriggStar into their schools, and they're able to tell the kids, hey, this is what you can do, and use trigonometry, like Bob was saying, every day. And then now teaching, you know, helping the teachers to be able to get in front of the students and teach spatial technology and GPS and everything else, I think it's something that's going to work well together. And that's one of our things as a committee, is that we need to do is figure out how we're going to do that together with some of these other programs like TWIST, to be able to just to, you know, get kids pretty much in college, you know, and TriggStar, that's not the main focus of TriggStar, but, you know, to build an awareness. There's a lot of people that that don't know about surveying, and we're doing a really good job of getting that word out. So that's exciting to work with TWIST and to be able to get that word out about the profession. So,
yeah, one of the things I found out about that is that it isn't a national program like TriggStar specifically. It's a mechanism that local surveyors or local groups of surveyors can use, but that the content part of the TWIST program is actually put together either through a local or a regional group. Isn't that right, Jerry?
Yes. Yeah, I think that WestFed has worked with some professors and some other folks in Washington State, and they're the ones that are out there teaching the teachers about spatial technology, how to bring it to the students. So I think right now it is a WestFed and NCWS, like you're talking about, are working together to get that, and I think they're most likely wanting it to grow as well.
Yeah, and the reason I brought that up is that I think that gives us, through NSPS, a really good opportunity to build more of those coalitions in a particular region. I guess maybe it probably occurs even in one state. You know, years ago, New York State had its own program. So it isn't something that is out there where you have to deal with a national entity, so to speak, in terms of getting your program set up. It could be done sort of like we do at the local level or at the regional level. And if it is beneficial in helping those teachers learn more about the importance of math and science and trigonometry, then certainly we think that's a great idea in terms of working with us for TriggStar.
Absolutely.
I thought was somebody else starting to say something. I didn't want to interrupt if you were. One of the things that the question that comes up sometimes is how do we get involved? People will say, I don't really know how to get involved. I'm a surveyor down here in southwestern Virginia or wherever I am, and I don't really hear anything about this. How do I get myself involved? And of course, as somebody, I think Bob mentioned earlier, we have our state coordinators. But what advice do you have for people who want to get involved? How can we assist them better, to even if they're just going to do it at their local high school?
Well, I'll go first. This is Tony. I think that since it's an NSPS program and we need to have consistency as the test is being given in every state that participates, I think that we do need to get the state coordinator involved. And hopefully the person who has not had any exposure to it is either going to contact their state office, state society office, or they'll contact NSPS and says, hey, I've heard about this program. What do we do? And I know in Indiana, they'll automatically be directed to me, and I'm sure from the NSPS office, they would also be directed to whoever the coordinator is. And so that's a good start, but there has to be some other local involvement there. And what I try to do in Indiana is I try to work chapter by chapter from our state society, and as one person gets involved, then I have somebody else in that area if somebody else wants to get involved, and it's kind of like a networking thing to get together. And if somebody has to, that's experienced with TriXtar in the state, or even from an adjoining state, has to get together with someone who wants to learn the program, and if it takes driving and meeting together someplace, we recommend that. So, but that the state coordinator needs to be a focal point because of the consistency standpoint.
And do we get pretty good participation? I mean, sometimes people get appointed as state coordinator by default almost. Sometimes it falls to our area director, but NSPS governor. But I have to think on the large scale that we get pretty good participation because, am I correct that we had 37 states participating in national this year?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, that was it, 37.
So that means somebody in each state is doing something. And are there instances where there may be a state winner or that doesn't participate in the national? Or do we even have a way of knowing that? I guess.
Well, we they have to send in the notice of their state winner into the NSPS, and if somebody's involved and they take the local test and everything, there is a chance that maybe one of the states just don't have a state winner, or they miss the deadline or something, so they don't, we don't get they don't get the national test delivered to them to be able to get it back to us. So there's instances like that, but not very many. It's usually if they're involved, if a state is involved, even at one school, at one kid, at local level, usually they'll participate in the national exam.
And I think at our meeting in July, we kind of did a little spot check on that, and we looked to see how many state licenses there were issued and how many states worked with individual licenses, and tried to account for how many states were involved versus how many states that we had national tests to grade. And it's my recollection, Bob or Jerry, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that we had a pretty good match, that we felt that we had everybody covered.
Yeah, definitely 37. There were 37 national exams so that we graded.
Well, when we come back from our break, we've got 30 seconds or so before our next break, but maybe we can talk a little bit about deadlines. Another question that I get really often is, how many kids actually participate? So that's always a good question to ask. I'm not sure we have the definitive answer on it, but that's a question that we get asked pretty often. So maybe we can talk about that a little bit when we come back as well. And just the last thing before we go to the break, one of the things that I hope is going to enhance more people being involved is with our NSPS newsletter going to, our 14,000-15,000 people or whatever it is, get more people knowing about it. So let's go to break, and we'll be right back.
And here's something new from Schonstedt. Did you know that Schonstedt has upped the ante on trade-ins? Now you can trade in any instrument, theirs or a competitor's, in any condition, working or not, and receive more in trade than ever before. Plus, they'll pay the freight both ways. Contact your local dealer for details or go to Schonstedt.com. That's Schonstedt.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schurz, as we talk about the topics that doctors talk about amongst themselves, such as Medicare, Obamacare, alternative forms of care, and health information technology. Join us every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about quick stakes, go to www.quickstake.com, or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
And here's something new from Schonstedt. Did you know that Schonstedt has upped the ante on trade-ins? Now you can trade in any instrument, theirs or a competitor's, in any condition, working or not, and receive more in trade than ever before. Plus, they'll pay the freight both ways. Contact your local dealer for details or go to Schonstedt.com. That's schonstedt.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
We're going into our third segment for the day, and as our regular listeners know, this is the time of the show when we have our Parker Davis Quick Stakes contest for the week. Again, I will ask a question, and once the answer is given, the first person to email to quickstakescontest@americaswebradio.com will be the winner for the week. So I always try to get a question that has a fairly short answer, and my question today, and any one or all three of you can chime in when I ask this question, but the question is, what year did Trigstar get founded?
Tony?
1983
is the answer we're looking for today for our Parker Davis Quick Stakes contest, 1983. Thanks, Tony, for doing that. As we were going to break, we were talking about a number of things, and one of the things that I get questions about, or we get questions about, Trish probably more than me, is what are the deadlines? Are they always the same? How do we try to set those specifically, or obviously beginning at the local level? I don't know if people will actually begin that or sometime during the school year when they're getting kids prepared, but could somebody talk about that? I guess process is really what I'm talking about here. How do we get from getting a teacher involved to getting a local high school participating? Then how does that play in with the state competition and then getting on to getting the state winners into the nationals? So maybe that's a joint question or a joint answer among you guys. I don't know, but I think people would be interested in that whole time process.
Sure. I think that, for the year, for the contest year, usually, the contest, of course, goes out. School doesn't start till the fall. So, we try to get the tests out to the states right there at the school year. So it kind of goes through the school year and then into the next year for testing, and the schools can pretty much do, what they want to do for their local exam. But, for the state winners, they have to have their photo and their package submitted to NSPS between May 1st and June 1st of the year. So that's when the state winners will be sent in, and then a national exam will be sent back out to those states, and they need to do their exam for each state for the national winner. They'd have to get it back into NSPS by July 1st, 2000 or of that year. So, that's pretty much the timing of that. But there's a lot that you have to do before to get ready for the year. So, contacting teachers and that's part of being the state coordinator or whatever coordinator you are. You gotta get that right at the beginning of the year and contact new teachers or contact the ones that have been doing it for a while. And we gotta try to get into the schools and do our presentation, which is really important for our program to let these kids and teachers know who we are and what we do as professionals and what could be offered through schools. And so there's quite a few. I don't know if I was, give you specific dates, but that's pretty much how it works. I don't know if Tony or Bob, if you have anything else to add to that.
In Indiana, most of the schools that participate want to do Trigstar during the spring in the second half of their academic year. The test is available by mid-September to October 1st to be sent out from NSPS, so if a school happens to have a schedule where they're doing trig in the fall, they can of course work with that and be ahead of the game, if you will. But the majority of what we see in Indiana is that the tests are given in spring, and most of the teachers I work with would like to take it as late as possible in the time frame so that they can prepare their students as best as possible. And so I usually have around May 15th as the deadline across Indiana here. That's what I do here locally to issue the test, and that gives us time to grade it and disseminate all the information from all the schools in the state and so that we can determine the state winner.
So that means that for the final, for the national, would, because of the timing during the year, does that mean that students could be actually participating after school is out? Or do they try to get it done before school is out?
Well, that would be the best way to do it, but sometimes because of that late spring, most of the teachers don't want to do another test. They're trying to get their testing for college, everything out of the way, and they always want to try to wait till the very last minute of the school year. So we've had to move our date for the national contest. It used to be June 15th, and we moved it a little bit into July 1st just because there were some schools that weren't, they're doing waiting for the very last minute. So, yeah, sometimes they're doing the exam after school or, during the summer, which, it's not the best scenario. And that's one of the things that, as a committee, that we need to look at to see what we could do about that. But they do want to wait till the end of the year for this test.
So. I think I heard Bob.
Pennsylvania, we have it's almost exclusively giving the program and the test starting in the month of March. Nobody teaches the trigonometry in the first half of the year, and in fact, some of the teachers tell me they're not going to teach trigonometry till the beginning of May. So it doesn't do us any good talking about the program so much before that point. So we have to squeeze everything in at the end of the school year, March, April, and May. And then it is tough to get the winner to take the national test. However, it depends if they're a junior or a senior. If it's a senior, it's really tough because they're getting out of school early. And 9 times out of 10, we have to work with that math teacher to have them in sometime during the summer in the beginning months to come in and take that test.
Every time I hear somebody mention what time of the year they teach trigonometry, it puzzles me because I realize it was over 50 years ago, but when I was taking trigonometry, I thought it was a year-long experience. We must have been a lot dumber kids back then or something. But you were talking about the teachers, and another question that we often hear is, well, we've tried. How do we get teachers involved? We don't know what we're supposed to do. And of course, one of the things we mentioned NCWS earlier, one of the things they're going to work with us on is sending out postcards, actually, through the Math Teachers Association that I think will be helpful to us. But what tips do you guys have for the local surveyor who's interested in the program in terms of getting the local teacher interested?
Well, I'll keep rolling here. The direction, I've tried several different things when I started into the program of how to get to the schools, and right from getting a list and phone numbers or a list of the schools in the state and starting to go down the line and call up the school, wasn't exactly sure where to go, and I found that the best spot was to read the faculty list and find out who is the math department head. That's where I've had the most success. I've gone to them and discussed the whole program, and typically they'll ask me to come in and talk to them or all the teachers that would be teaching this course to discuss the whole program. If I can't get in through that method, I try guidance counselors or just talking to kids, friends of my kids, that, okay, who's your teacher, and how do I get hold of them? I find their number. I call them up. The last resort, though, if I'm not having success and the teachers, some teachers are disinterested, I will go to the board of school board, and the school board is so for this program that it usually that's the straw that breaks the camel's back, so to speak, and we get in.
So you find them, the school board itself, perhaps looking at it more positively initially than the teachers sometimes?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah. It seems like once we get in there and get in front of the teachers that they like it so much, and they just want to continue going on every year. So, just getting your foot in the door is the most important thing, and and usually it just sticks with it. It's a really good program for the teachers to be able to teach these kids through TrickStar.
In Indiana, we actually had a surveyor in the middle part of the state that was so involved with TrickStar, and he was our champion as far as getting schools, and he actually got a collection of six of the math teachers to come to his office and asked me to come down, and we have a little video of their testimonial for TrickStar. We put it out on YouTube. I don't want to read the long letters and numbers of the address, but if you search on YouTube for TrickStar teacher testimonials, you should be able to find this little six-minute video in Indiana. And Jerry has said it, Bob has said it, that the teachers are on fire for this. It gives them something to teach towards, and they talk about the competitiveness of the kids and wanting to win and wanting to learn, and they build on it from year to year. The students sometimes actually ask, you know, is in this area, they ask, are we going to do TrickStar this year? And the gratifying part being a land surveyor and representing NSPS is all these teachers said that it gives them the ability to show them that there's careers out there in land surveying in an area where they're going to use this. So
I have a perfect follow-up on what you're saying there, that there's a teacher I think it was one of the first schools that bought into the program, and he's been giving it to his students ever since. This teacher actually, the semester that the TrickStar test is presented, a third of the students' grade is the TrickStar test. So I guess that forces the students to do pretty good, and I've had three state winners in the last 6 years from that school. Well, now this gentleman came up to me and said, Bob, I have bad news for you. I'm not going to be teaching anymore. I'm retiring. And, that upset me a little bit. And then he said, but I want to work for TrickStar now. He said, just let me know what I can do, where I can go, who I can talk to, and I'm going to help you run the program. That's the ultimate.
Yeah, that's great. I was just going to say, that's the kind of testimonial we like to hear for sure, because we always have the naysayers, of course, and sometimes those come because people just don't know about the program. Sometimes it comes because maybe they just don't want to be involved in the program. I'm sure people have lots of different reasons, but we hear from the students themselves, and as a matter of fact, when we come back from this last break, I want to talk about the students and in particular the scholarship that's been set up that I think is a major accomplishment for the program. And we can talk about those things. One other question you can be thinking about here as we go to break, and that was the one that always gets asked, how many students actually become surveyors? And there's a good response to that, but I'm interested in hearing that when we get back. So let's go to the last break. We'll be right back.
Attention surveyors, are you aware that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Johnstead, in cooperation with international mine action programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com, and thank you.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on americaswebradio.com.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about quick stakes, go to www.quickstake.com, or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
Schonstedt Instrument Company has been making locating easier since 1953. First, with its yellow stick, the GA52CX, the industry standard for sensitivity. Then, the GA72CD, a shorter and more rugged version offering a magnetic polarity display and a battery and sensitivity indicator. And most recently, the GA92XT, built for portability. It retracts to fit in its holster and extends for one-handed operation and fingertip control. See them all at Schonstedt.com. That's Schonstedt.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
We're back for our last segment today with Bob Miller, Tony Gregory, and Jerry Juarez talking about the NSPS Trigstar program. As we were going to break, I threw out a couple of things there, and I do want to have you talk about the relatively new scholarship program we have. But before we go to that, maybe it'd be a good thing to talk a little bit about the award money. That's an incentive for teachers as well as for students. So maybe we could talk a little bit about what that is.
Sure. I think that you know, on the local level for the awards, it's pretty much up to the local sponsors what they want to do for the students and for the teachers, and we'll talk about that in just a second here with the teachers. But again, with the local part of it, you know, for our state, we give each school gets the winners get you know, like $75 each for first place and $50 for second place and $25 for third place, and then, you know, the plaques and however else the sponsors want to give to the students. But on the national level, you know, there's cash awards. It's not really a scholarship type. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But the cash awards for third place, the winner gets $500, and the second place $1,000, and the first place is a $2,000 award. But what's really exciting is that we offer the actual teacher of these students on the national level, they actually get prize money as well. So for the third place winner, the teacher would get $250, and second place, the teacher would get a $500 award, and for the first place, the teacher will get a $1,000 award. So it's kind of nice when you get up there and you're doing an award ceremony and being able to bring the teacher up themselves with the student and be able to give them an incentive as well for cash. We think that the teachers are such a huge part of this program that you know, we want to make sure that they get recognized as well. So that's go ahead.
I was just going to say one thing that I don't think we covered was from local to national, there's not a separate state competition, right? It's just comparing the scores through the different entries through the state to get the state.
That's correct.
Yeah,
that's correct. Everybody takes the same test, and there are school winners that are recognized with every test instance, but those tests are all the winners are collected by the state coordinator, and the state winners are determined from that.
And sometimes in states, they will have that second level of three. They will do another exam on the state side, but that would be up to each state to be able to determine their winner. So however they get their winner for the national, sometimes they do have another separate test that they come up with, and that's how they determine. Not very often, but there are some like that.
You know, I mentioned earlier before we went to break, the question always comes up, how many become surveyors? Another question is tracking, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I don't think we have a great way to do this. Track the number of students that actually participate on an annual basis. We don't get reports back from how many are in each school, do we?
No, we don't. That's a question of the day, I think, as a committee, and I think that's something that we need to figure out pretty quickly how we're going to be able to do that. I think hopefully NCWS will help us with that and be able to track some of the winners, you know, and what how many are actually taking the exam, and then how many become land surveyors. It's been a really tough thing to be able to do. It may seem simple, but it's been one of the things that we've struggled with, to be honest, and we're going to do whatever we can to be able to bring, you know, we're surveyors. We're all about numbers, and people want to know what's going on with those numbers. How many are we reaching? How many are going into universities and colleges and becoming land surveyors? And so that's so important that we need to be able to do. So hopefully NCWS will help us with that.
Yeah, let me add to that we've I agree with Jerry. That's been a real struggle here, and different states do a pretty good job of keeping track how many schools participated and how many students participated, but to get that in to everybody to submit consistent data is where we've struggled, and we've tried a few different means, where there's an online process that each sponsor of a school can put their numbers in there, but it's just very difficult to, from our committee standpoint, to get everybody involved. And we've mentioned the state coordinators, and we've got state coordinators that are just great at doing this, and others that just, you know, they do the best they can. Everybody's a volunteer on this, and it gets difficult when it comes to getting those numbers.
Very true. And regarding that question of how many become surveyors, that's a question that gets asked a lot. I know not too long ago we put something in the newsletter about TreeStar and the fact that people raised that question, and I got a really nice email from a surveyor in Texas. As a matter of fact, I think he's licensed in about 10 states or something, and he said that taking the TreeStar test was the most important thing that led him to want to become a professional surveyor. And you hear those stories, but the thing is, the story that maybe doesn't get heard, and you could focus on this a little bit maybe, is that if you think getting multitude of people to become licensed professional surveyors is the primary purpose of TreeStar, I think that's an incorrect assumption.
Absolutely. You know, TreeStar says right on the website, you know, what we're doing with TreeStar is bringing awareness to students, teachers, parents about land surveyors. I mean, we've gone how many times in a room, 100 kids, and maybe one knows what a land surveyor even is. So, you know, I think we're doing our part, one of the most important things is to bring awareness, and that's what we're doing, you know, trying to get people to know who we are, and not our main focus to get kids in, as we say, butts in the seats for universities and going into our programs. Although that's happened, you know, we're going to hopefully utilize some of the other programs out there to be able to do that, to use TreeStar to let them know who we are and what we can, you know, as surveyors, and then get them into the seats with other programs. So that's a really important thing to know about TreeStar.
And along that line, maybe this is a good opportunity to talk about that big incentive that's been created over the last few years with the scholarship.
Yes.
I don't know how many years it's been since we started that. I want to say it's been 7 or 8 years since we've given it out, guys. 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah, I think it's closer to like six years or so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a $5,000 scholarship, and the requirements are, there's two main primary requirements. Number one, the student has to have, they have to be seniors. They have to have participated in the, seniors in high school, I'm sorry. They have to have been participated in the TreeStar program during their high school time, and they have to be enrolled in a college curriculum that is a land surveying curriculum or a land surveying related curriculum. Obviously, we're trying to fund our future here, and it's national, and it's one award. And I think I'll stop there and let Bob and Jerry come in, because it's disappointing how few applications we get.
Definitely, it's been disappointing on that. But you know that this, hopefully, things like this radio show and some other things that we have planned will be able to get the word out with that. You know, $5,000 scholarship. That's a pretty big scholarship, and every year we're able to do that, and we're not getting as many applications. Although this year was really, really, I think 4 or 5, maybe. We need to get more people. With the scholarship to put in for it. So we're working on how we're going to be able to get that word out too. So there's a lot of work to do there, but you know, it started 6 years ago and it's just getting better every year, and we're hoping to get the numbers up, that's for sure.
Getting back to your question a little while back about how many students get into the program, over the years, it's always enjoyable to hear that somebody's getting into a survey program at one of the nearby colleges. But last year we had, not this previous year, but the year before, there were 300 students that took the test over a variety of 11 high schools. Two of those students went into the survey curriculum at two different colleges.
That's in Pennsylvania, right?
That's in Pennsylvania, and to me, that was probably the most successful year that we've had. I did sit in on a class one time, I'd say several years ago, maybe four, where the teacher got back to me and said that her, you know, we're working against the students when we're talking to juniors at the end of the year. Some of them have already committed to a school and to a major. And this teacher called and said her student was committed to civil engineering, and he reversed his major to surveying. So stories like that make us feel good, but it's not the prominent thing we're looking for.
Exactly. But it is good that we're able to do that and put that focus, I believe, on how important it is. And, of course, I guess it's somewhat dependent on where people are located, because, unfortunately, we don't have surveying schools in every state. So I guess it can be a little bit problematic. But we've got a little over 2 minutes left, so I don't want to have missed anything important. So if I have, be sure to bring it up. But so I don't miss this and get rushed at the end. Thank you all three for being with me today. I think it was excellent for us to be able to highlight the TrickStar program on the radio show. And as everybody knows, these are downloadable, so people can go back and listen, and we can use them for other purposes. So I really appreciate you all being with me today. So I don't know if anybody has anything they want to wrap up with here in the next minute and a half or so.
I wanted to make sure that everybody knows that the three of us, I'll speak for the other guys too, you know, any questions, anything that you have, any help that you may need, we're available, email or phone calls or anything that you need. We'd certainly be there to help with starting up a program or answer any questions that you're struggling with. So I just want to make sure everybody knows that we'd love to be able to help you with that.
They can do that right through our office. They can just let us know, and then we'll contact you guys if they don't contact you directly.
And I just want to add, to kind of piggyback on to what Jerry said, I mean, everybody got to listen to the three of us, and the three of us are certainly, I think it should be obvious from just the fact that we're doing this and we're on the committee how fond of the program we are and how in favor of the program we are. But there's many out there, many in all the states to participate. We have a lot of folks, a lot of surveyors and folks associated with surveying that are really, really pro-TrickStar, and we just got to keep the ball rolling.
Well, I just, on behalf of leadership of NSPS and me personally and the surveying community in general, thank you guys for all the hard work you do, because I know there's a lot involved, and when you come here to grade the national exam, it's a big, big job. And so just thank you so much for everything you do, and we want to continue through the organization to make it stronger.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks again for joining me today, guys. I hope you all have a great day, and we'll get some really good positive feedback from the show today.
Thank you, Kurt.
Thanks.
Take care, everyone.
All right.
Bye. Bye.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.